Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Chwaba.
So our question tonight is, where would you go to Airbnb in an iconic location from like TV or movies? Steve from the 920 says, I could tell the Bucks game is over because now everybody's starting to text. As a young kid, I would have spent a weekend with Opie on the Andy Griffith Show as a young teenager, the Brady Bunch as a 21-year-old, Baywatch, and as an older adult playing Kramer's dad on Seinfeld. As you know, they never talked about Kramer's family, only Jerry's and George's. That's true, Steve, except they did reference Kramer's mom from time to time. Babs Kramer was her name. And it's not often, but they do mention her. But those are all great places. I think everybody, like, thinks about the Andy Griffith Show. That was kind of before my time, but it does look heavenly. When they do the opening credits and they're walking with their fishing poles, it's like kind of what everybody thinks America is, right?
Mayberry would be a good spot.
Yeah.
I like that.
But the Brady Bunch house, too, that's good. That's a good one.
For sure.
No one's going to argue with Baywatch.
No.
Conrad, you're Joey and Chandler. You could watch Baywatch with those guys.
Exactly.
I still love that show. So that's great, though, Steve. Thank you for weighing in on that. And the Bucks lost, I guess.
Yeah. It's too bad. I must have been bad luck bringing back the Andrew Bogut 05 jersey today. So
I'll take the heat on that one. Motorcycle, though, man. You're playing up the image. That fits for rap or rock and roll right outside the window.
Yeah. I got the VIP parking and everything. It's incredible.
We knew you were coming, and they're not charging you at this hour either. So that's nice too. So, you know, we were talking about recording, and you said when you go in there and your time is valuable. Did you ever see the movie Once?
I don't think I have.
It's set in Ireland, and I forget the name of the actor, but he, you know, he's plays a guitar and he sings and he's trying to get his music going. And his dad, I think, fixes vacuum cleaners or something like that in this little town in Ireland. And it's just a sweet story. And he connects with this piano player and they make music together. He finally gets enough money to go in and record his song. And they're in the studio. And the guy, the engineer, is going through the motions. He took the money, like whatever. He sets the board up.
Yeah.
And then he just leans back with the newspaper like he couldn't care less. So they're playing this song. And there's a very subtle moment where the guy looks from behind the paper and he just goes, and he starts caring more because he likes what they're doing.
Right.
Just a great, very beautiful, subtle moment in the movie Once.
I like that.
I recommend it.
Because that's a real thing. I can only imagine some of the artists that these guys got to put up with that.
Oh, right.
You know, they can afford it, right? But they get in there and it's like, oh boy, what are we going to do with these vocals?
Right. So, Matt Harper is my guest. He is a local musician here in Northeast Wisconsin. Matt, what is your favorite part from when you get an idea, a germ for a song idea to the final, when it's done and you can actually send it to people, show it to people?
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of the process?
I love so much of it, but I'd have to, if I got to narrow it down, I definitely think my favorite part is when we start vocal tracking, because that's when the song really starts alive. So when you're adding the vocals over the instruments, I love starting to hear it back for the first time, because I've already sung it out loud to myself and it sounds completely different, but you hear it recorded. And then usually, you know, with the team that I record with, you know, they're throwing in like, hey, try to sing it this way, or maybe do the delivery like this, or instead of this timing, try to sing it in this timing.
Yeah.
And that stuff is just so fun to me, because all of a sudden it becomes like a completely different song than I heard in my head originally.
Right.
But my other favorite part is definitely when you write like the chorus part of it and you're like, okay, I like where this is, because I usually start there. Like I get the chorus part down and then kind of fill in the verses around it. Like I get the idea of the song, I go there and then back. So then, you know, you kind of see the song build that way too. I guess maybe it's a little bit of my mindset from being in the construction trades my whole life, but you get to see the building come out of the ground. And this is kind of like you get to see the song come out of the ground as you work from point A to point
B. Or in the movie business, they say you give birth when you get a movie made, and it's like, that's really interesting. So I totally lost my train of thought because I was trying to think of a joke for when you said construction.
Yeah.
And I got sidetracked. That's where my ADD is.
There's a lot of them. Yeah.
So
I live in one big joke every day.
So you're going to do another song for us?
Absolutely.
All right. What's this one called?
So this song is called Burn It. I actually wrote this one. The inspiration was I heard we kind of put the music together and it reminded me of something we would have played like before a high school football game, like on our warm up mix. So the lyrics are a lot about, you know, I pictured myself walking into, you know, we're the away team. You know, walking into a hostile crowd, yeah. like a rivalry game, like Appleton East, Appleton West thing back in when I played. And, you know, everybody's booing. Everybody wants you to do bad. And it's like, we're gonna show up. We're going to give them everything we have. We're going to burn this whole place to the ground. So
love it. Yeah. Let's hear it. This is Matt Harper, ladies and gentlemen. He's in the studio here on Nightlight.
Okay, it's like a hit squad. They drawing down on us. Yeah, we're the bad guys. We're just so villainous. They wanna point us out. Oh yeah, I call that bluff. I come to level up. Not done until the war is won. We over. Hatred is wasted. Just face it, we made it. Don't overcomplicate it. We don't break, we just take it. All the hell that you give is all the hell that we live. All the hell that you give is all the hell that we live. What have I done to wear so many scars? What have I done? What the hell have I done now? What have I done to wear so many scars? Till the last drop of blood, we show them who we are now. Light them up, light them up, light them up, show them who we are now. Light them up, light them up, light them up. Burn this whole place down, scorched earth. What is this victory worth? Man, this is nothing new. I've been underrated since birth. It's like a curse. The weight, it only gets worse. The more hate they bring, the more venom in the verse. So who wanna step first? Lay down in the dirt. It's a hard lesson learned. All these bridges that I burn, all these stones that I turn, I never been concerned. Cause I work and I earn to get what I deserve. Hit them first, it's wasted. Just face it, we made it. Don't overcomplicate it. We don't break, we just take it. All the hell that you give is all the hell that we live. All the hell that you give is all the hell that we live. What have I done to wear so many scars? What have I done? What the hell have I done now? What have I done to wear so many scars? Till the last drop of blood, we show them who we are now. Light them up, burn it down. Light them up, burn it down. Light them up, burn it down. Show them who we are now. Light them up, burn it down. Light them up, burn it down. Light them up, burn it down. Burn this whole place down.
Burn this whole place to the ground. Burn this whole place to the ground. Burn this whole place to the ground.
We burn it to the ground. What have I done to wear so many scars? What have I done? What the hell have I done now? What have I done to wear so many scars? Till the last drop of blood, we show them who we are now. Light them up, burn it down. Light them up, burn it down. Light them up, burn it down. Show them who we are now. Light them up, burn it down. Burn it down. Light them up, burn it down. Burn this whole place to the ground.
Man, your high school football games were intense.
we thought we were pretty intense. We didn't win a lot of games, but we rocked out before.
Oh, man, that's great. And it's hard. I just want to tell people, like, it is hard. Like, you're sitting down. Yeah. This isn't like a live
that's
performance.
That's unnatural. Like, I've never done either one of those songs sitting down before.
That's so impressive.
I don't
I
know what to do with my hands, you know? It's like,
it's great. So when you go in to produce something, Matt, and this is something I didn't know before a few years ago. I was listening to Butch Vig talk, and he said when artists used to come in, when he was a student at Madison, before they did like all the Nevermind albums and all that,
sure,
people would come in, and he would say, if you want it that way, you're ruining your record.
Wow.
Like, a guy comes in with a song or a girl comes in and he's saying, don't do it like that. And he would put his spin on it and it would be a hit.
Yeah.
That's what a producer can do.
100%. Like,
you made this great song.
Yep.
But how do they elevate it? How do they know how to elevate it? What do they do?
You got to find people like the best guy. I'm fortunate enough to have two really good guys. I have Miko Marhoff Walkies with Ghost Mob Entertainment. I have Dave Patella from Source Track Studios in Appleton, actually. They're both just fantastic. They work with artists of different backgrounds. They've been around the music industry for a long time. They know what a good record sounds like and what a bad record sounds like. And they just have this ability that I don't have at all. Like, I come there, I've got ideas, I've got this music, you know, they're like, just sing the song all the way through for me. Let me hear it. And to your point, they're like, yep, I would change the delivery in that first verse. Mm. You know, you're coming in really hot, really loud. Let's tone that down a little bit. How about we add in, you know, an ad lib here? We add in some layers, or I actually just did on my latest song some harmonies, which I've never done before in my life. So he's like, I just think this chorus will sound so much better with a little bit low end harmony with it. And it their brain just works differently. It's the only way I can really explain it. They hear something that nobody else can hear. Even when we're going through the mixing and mastering phase, the stuff that they pick out, I'm like, I would have never ever heard that. And I'm pretty picky and hard on myself too when we're in that process. But they're, you know, this volume just needs to go up, you know, like one decibel, and it'll make the whole song.
Isn't
that
crazy?
It's nuts.
And the hardest thing is the writing of the song, like coming up with actual material.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
honestly, for me, the lyrics have just always come really easy. I've just always had an easy time with that. Where I struggle the most is probably like with melodies and with just certain deliveries, and especially with trying to blend two different kinds of music together, you know, like even just the last song I did, Burn It, it's got, you know, really like trap Southern rap type feel to the verses, but then it's like a metal song in the chorus.
Right.
So you're trying to not make it sound like you just copied and pasted two completely different songs together that don't mesh. So, you know, that part can be difficult. For sure, at times.
We have about 30 seconds left. Where can people see your stuff?
So my website is mattharpermusic.com. I'm on all the streaming platforms, so just look up Matt Harper on your favorite streaming service. I'm on all of them. Instagram is at mharpermusic, Facebook, Matt Harper. So probably the easiest place to find me.
Very cool. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, man.
Appreciate
you guys having me on.
Anytime.
I really do. So
that's Matt Harper. Check out his stuff. All the places he just told you. He is out there, and you can see him soon, too, and look for his stuff to come out. Great stuff. When we come back, Rich Williams, comedian, writer, and comedy star, will be here on Nightlight. That's coming up next. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I failed to mention this when Matt was on, but David Mooney just wrote Prophecy. And that was like some inside joke between he and Matt, but Matt got it. And then Bridget from the 818 says, The Crown is my inspiration for an Airbnb. She'd love to stay at Buckingham Palace. so many bedrooms to choose from. You want to know an idiom?
About what?
Okay, so I started watching The Crown.
Okay.
Everybody's watching The Crown. I just started doing this show like 5 months ago. I go, you know, I should watch The Crown. I started it, and Princess Di is on it. I'm like, oh, this is kind of weird for a first episode. I'm flashing back. I watched like the first two episodes of season six, and then I like couldn't go back and watch it. So that's my, I loved it. It was great. All right, so hey, tomorrow night, Nightlight. Rob Thomas from the Capital Times, the entertainment reporter, will be here. Rob's stuff is great. Check out his Substack. And we're going to talk about The Fall Guy. He did a review today in the Capital Times. It was great. Barr will be here to review new music. She will be showcasing, she and Rocker and Jimmy, on Max Inc. Saturday night. So, as always, fun to talk to Terry. And she'll be calling in live from a concert, which I think is kind of cool.
And she's actually going to the Mascot Theory.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
We had Eric on the other night. It's great stuff. Yeah, there's some great music out there. Okay. I'm very excited to welcome this next guest to the show. He and I worked together on a show called Sports Soup. We were both writers, and he was a fellow stand-up comic comic, a stand-up comic, a very successful comic, and a terrific writer, too, and a good friend of mine. I'd like to welcome Rich Williams to Nightlight. Rich, how are you?
Pete, I almost didn't make it here. I was out protesting, not all the stuff going on with the conflict. I was at the library. I'm furious that you thought Hogwarts was a real place.
Listen.
You have kids that were that age that read those books. How did you not know it was fiction?
I did. I knew it was fiction. I meant like where they filmed it. I've been to the library and I've probed Dewey Decimal System, but I don't. Rich, you look good, man. You look like cooler every time I see you.
You know what I'm going for?
Tell me.
I grew the mustache. I grew the mustache so I could look like your IMDb photo.
How is it that
I got for you? Yeah. Hold on. I got a pitch for the show. I'm very excited to be here.
Likewise.
Instead of Nightlight, how about lights, camera, Schwabba?
Conrad, take a memo. I like it.
Sounds good.
Let's run it by the brass.
Keep your eye on that Conrad. I Googled him.
He gets Googled a lot.
He looks like a passing, a blocking only tight end.
You saying I can't catch or what?
I'm saying you only care about protecting your guy, the QB, okay, which is Pete Schwabba. And if he doesn't treat you right, you're going to leave for Matt.
Is that like a move tight end? I always hear that and I never know what they're talking about. Oh, he's more of a move tight end. I don't know.
Could be.
All right.
Could be. Yeah.
So last time I saw you, Rich, you had this like awesome Hemingway look going, but I like the mustache though. And I appreciate the shout out. That was my COVID picture. Somehow I can't get it off IMDb, so I'm stuck forever with a picture from COVID. And I don't. And then I did Jimmy Pardo's podcast, and so that's the picture they found online. I'm like, come on, really? Like, I can't get rid of that picture. It looks better on you.
It reminds you of the good old days of the lockdowns, huh?
Yeah, the lockdowns, Burt Reynolds films, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
How are you, buddy?
I'm well. It's so crazy to see you in this type of environment. I haven't seen you in so long.
I know.
I'm filled with questions.
Okay.
Have you ever gotten to meet meteorologist Mace Michaels? I call him 3M.
It's actually M-E-A-T, Meet Mace Michaels. He does like, he gives you meat and he does a forecast every time.
Ah, I love that.
It's a really, he's got cornered the market.
No, but this is such a cool show. I've been watching as I was getting ready for it, and you get to play like real music. It's not the copyright free music.
Right. Yeah, we do. Right? I mean, we could do that. We haven't been called out on it yet, so
no, we're good.
Rich just alerted the FCC. Yeah, it's fun.
If you ever add this to your rotation, most people don't know this, but I'm a huge fan of Talk Talk, that song, It's My Life.
Oh, my God. One of my all-time favorite songs, Rich.
This is going to blow your mind if you don't know it. That whole love affair he's talking about, you should be in the relationship. If you should not be in, how much should I commit? I watched an Italian broadcast of them in the 80s when they were new and it just came out. And he explained it. He was talking about his relationship with music.
No way.
That's like you and I in show business. Look at what we're doing right now.
I love it, man.
No, but really, it was literally about, should I fully go in with music?
That's so cool. What was that?
You can Google it. I mean, on YouTube. It's some Italian TV show, I think from 87.
Jeez.
And, yeah, at the end, the presenter's speaking in Italian, then going into English, and he's like, it's my life. What? He goes, yeah, music.
God,
it's my life.
I love that. You know what I do when I leave here at night? I have about an hour drive. When my wife thinks the boss and bosses me around and thinks she's so big, that's the song I play. It's my life.
I love that you try to limit it to that hour.
Right. What, there's the comedian that does the joke about, told my wife she's not the boss and she doesn't own me. If I want to call my friends from the mall at halftime of the Super Bowl to find out the score, I'm gonna do it. Said Ed Driscoll, maybe. Such a great
joke. That's wonderful.
So Are you doing much stand-up these days? Are you doing stand-up, Rich?
Well, I got back into it recently. The lockdowns made it impossible.
Yeah.
I fall in and out of love with stand-up at times. I got back into it when I first moved back to my town of Schenectady from Los Angeles in 2012. I went through a bad breakup, and that pushed me back into comedy. Wow. And then 3 years ago, right in the middle of lockdowns, January 2021, I turned 50 and I had a heart attack. And you'll love this. I so do not want help from people. I drove myself to the emergency room.
They're
like, yeah, you're having a heart attack right now. So I had a triple bypass. I'm fully covered. The doctor said I could start smoking again. That's how well I'm doing. And then I started doing this YouTube channel just because I'm disabled. I have this weird balance order. You remember, I used to sleep underneath the cubicle at work to reset my brain. And I needed something to do. So you know how when you're a more experienced comic, you see the younger comics making mistakes, rookie things, like they don't move the mic stand. And I would find so many headliners would be like, oh, what an idiot. And I said, yeah, because they don't know.
They just don't know.
So I started doing it. Yeah, I started doing a channel for that. And then it got more into how to write a joke, what not to do, all those types of things. More like, and then self-help stuff as well.
Let's pick that up. That's where we'll pick up next. I love that you're here, man. And I'm glad you're doing okay. I had no idea about the heart attack. So I'm glad you're here and you're making me laugh, buddy. This is Rich Williams. We're going to get to know him a little bit more. Coming up next, this is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. It's Thursday night. We're hanging out. We're broadcasting live statewide from our beautiful studios here at WGBW in downtown Green Bay at City Deck. Lanny, great to have you with me on this Thursday night, talking show business, movies, entertainment, comedy, all the things that we love and that bring us together. And my guest right now is a very good friend of mine and a very funny guy, Rich Williams. Rich, you were talking about teaching comedy at YouTube and how you got into that during it was during COVID, right?
No, it was excuse me, this last September. I just had a point in my life where I didn't have any purpose or direction, and I've always liked helping people. And so I always wanted to make a YouTube channel, and I'm going to make another one just for self-help. I'm a certified therapist. I think when I was working with you, I was getting certified at this, you know, it's basically clown college to people who aren't familiar with hypnosis, but, oh, do you have crystals? And, so yeah, I just started making videos, and then I made 100 videos in 100 days.
Oh my gosh.
And it just felt, I did something crazy as far as being a YouTuber. It's a small channel. There's like close to 900 subscribers now. It's only been up for 6 or 7 months.
Ah.
But I said, if anybody watching this channel wants me to review their set and them suggestions, punch it up, send me an email. And then I would and send me a phone number. And I just call people at like 10 o'clock at night. Hey, it's Rich from YouTube.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Yeah. That's so cool though. Like anybody that wants to do this. Well, all right. So if there are people listening now, and I love that it's online, how can they, what's the site called?
Secrets of Stand-Up Comedy.
Okay.
Just go to YouTube and put in Secrets of Stand-Up Comedy. I had a recent video that did fairly well. I don't like the show to Kill Tony. Because I just feel like it's not set up right for comics to succeed. So I advise comics not to do it, even though what I say is not going to stop it. It's a huge success. And then a lot of things about writing. The biggest problem that I find comics have, especially when they're starting out or kind of mid-range, is they write and they think, I have to be a comedian. So they try to write like a comedian. Or when they go on stage, they try to perform, I'm a comedian, instead of just being themselves and kind of roasting life.
Right. That's interesting. Have you seen
that? Like when we would sit around.
Go ahead. Oh,
go ahead.
No. You go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, when you and I and Genzer and Roger Rittenhouse and Trevor would sit around in the writer's room for Sports Soup, you and we weren't doing setup punch to each other.
Right.
We were just making fun of each other.
Right. It was very natural. Yeah.
Yes.
That's beautiful. So did you watch this? Have you been watching the Steve Martin, the new in two parts or whatever, his new documentary?
No. Was it on HBO or something? It's there's so many services now.
Yeah, I think on Apple TV. And I watched the first hour and a half. It's really interesting. It's kind of him saying how he found his comedic voice. And it's very similar to what you're saying. He's like, I don't want to just do jokes. I want to talk about the part that leads up to the joke. That's the awkward part or whatever, like those nuances. It's so great. I'd love to know what you think of it. Well, that's really cool.
I read his book. And what's fascinating about him, if you really study what he did, and the same thing with Andy Kaufman. So Andy Kaufman, he would spend all his days of his childhood thinking that the wall in his room was the TV screen and there were kids on the other side of it.
Oh my gosh.
And he would perform as if he was doing a show for those other kids. That's why his comedy, when he does the Mighty Mouse thing and he's, you know, licking, yeah, it's like what a kid's show, but for adults. So Steve Martin, he got his break doing magic and then comedy at the Disney theme park.
Yeah.
I don't know if Disneyland, Disney World. And he was doing those family shows. And so it had to be silly and family friendly and fun. And you could see that in his stand-up years later.
Yeah, for sure. So you've done a lot of writing too. What's your favorite, like you're a very successful stand-up comic. I was always so envious of you on Sports Soup because you're always the guy that could come up with that joke in a heartbeat. Like they would call the writers over to the camera, guys, we need a joke here. This isn't working. I would immediately go say something before Rich, say something before Rich. Cause I would overthink it or whatever. Like my brain just didn't work like that. So you're so good on the spot with jokes. What's your favorite kind of writing? I also know you ghost wrote a lot of screenplays. So you've done kind of it all. What's your favorite kind of comedy to do?
I love, I love writing for other people because it's so much easier for me to write for someone else's voice than my own. And so I tell comics, if you can write about anything, you will write about nothing. But if I'm going in and like when I was writing for Tom Arnold, I knew his voice, or when I was writing for Larry the Cable Guy for a Super Bowl special, Howie Long's Tough Guys, I knew the types of jokes to write for him. So I really enjoy that part of it.
That's interesting. And it's very well said. You also worked on, and we'll get to Sports Soup at some point here, but you also worked on a pretty cool show. I always thought, and it was a no brainer that they hired you at Sports Soup because you wrote on the best damn show period, which is kind of a groundbreaking show, right?
It was fantastic. Yeah. It was Saturday Night Live meets the Tonight Show for sports.
Yeah. What was that experience?
Kind of
like?
The view. It was great. The only thing that was challenging for me personally, it was my first TV job. I was in LA for a couple of years. So I'm all gung ho. And I see it as Saturday Night Live for sport. We had Derek Jeter come on. And this is where I bumped heads. And they eventually let me go because of it. I fought too hard for the jokes. Derek Jeter had been on Saturday Night Live the week before. And they said, we're so excited. We're going to see if we can get the clearances to show those clips. And I went into my boss's office. I go, we're comedy writers. We have Derek Jeter. Let's do our own sketches with him.
Right.
And so that's what I always push for. Like, hey, we're just as talented as anybody else. And we know sports. Let's really take advantage of that.
Right. It's interesting because on Sports Soup, and for those of you listening, Sports Soup was like the soup with Joel McHale, only sports related. And I've said this before on this show, and I've had Genzer and Roger on just recently, Rich, and they said, you know, to me, I call it like the one of the best gigs I've ever had, because it was like mostly it was fun in the room. Like you said, we'd always rip on each other and we'd play jokes on each other, and we got to watch sports and write jokes about it. And I mean, what more could you ask for as a comedian?
I literally would, because each of us would get assigned our own shows to watch, and then we had the computer set up where we could clip those shows like people do for YouTube now. And I remember one time, and you wanted to get the crazy show. I had, who's the crazy guy? The rock and roll, Ted Nugent.
Oh, yeah.
I had his hunting show.
Okay.
So that was gorgeous for me. But I remember I was a Cowboys fan, and you guys always break our hearts, you Green Bay Packers. and I'm like, I want to cover that tonight because I could watch it from home, write down the what quarter and what time, and find all the funny things, and then go into work, and half my work was done for the day.
Right. That is pretty cool. And you just remind me of something. What we would do is we would get our clips from shows, cover a lot of UFC stuff, and we would all, like the writers, the staff, everybody had shows assigned. We would go into a big room, there'd be like 30 people. We'd all show the clips. They'd say, all right, Rich, what do you have? Pete, what do you have? And there one of the writers, Roger Rittenhouse, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, someone was teasing him about being older and not knowing technology and that kind of stuff. And it was his turn to show his clips, and you're expecting to see something sports. He clipped the wrong thing, and it said, if you need no Windows, call this number. It's like a Windows commercial. I don't know if I've ever laughed harder in my life at that moment. It was so beautiful, but just so many great.
He's so funny.
One of the greatest joke writers ever. You talk about Larry the Cable Guy. I know he wrote for Larry. He wrote for Dooley. And he, oh my God, just hilarious. We were talking about before, Rich, when you fight for jokes, what I thought was interesting, and I don't know if people realize this, when you pitch a joke that you love, there is a fine line how hard you fight for it. And I think John Moore, our boss on that show, the head writer, sometimes he wouldn't take jokes that maybe were too edgy or whatever, and we'd get kind of mad. And then I realized, someone told me, and I don't know if it was KP or what, but said, you know, the reason this show is on so long is he's making the network happy. So where is the fine line? Because you want to work. So how hard do you fight for the jokes? Like on the Best Damn Sports Show, period, would you do things differently if you could?
100%. 100%. So we had an original executive producer who didn't know anything about sports. It was the funniest thing in the world. But he came from NBC, and he had a pedigree working for Brandon Tartikoff and all that type of stuff. Then he was let go because the vice president of Fox Sports oversaw the show, and he loved it. It became like his pet project. He became in charge, the executive producer, and he was not a comedy guy at all. Like one time, one of the writers said something in a pitch meeting as like, let's see if we can make George laugh at something that's not funny. And he goes, who's this guy think he is, the king of France? And George cracks up laughing, and I'm like, oh no, we've run afoul here. And so I didn't realize till later, like, what am I fighting for a joke for? Yes, I want the show to be funny, but like, it's not, my family's not even watching tonight's episode. What do I care?
Oh, that's so funny. The inside jokes are the best too, because I remember like it was John Moore and Greg Heller were the two guys that were running the show, and they would call people in and they would mess with them. And my day came and they called me in and they said, can you remember anything you might have said that was offensive or would have been offensive to people with different sexual preferences? And right away your blood goes up and I'm like, oh my God, what? No. Like, started looking for stuff. And I mean, they were just so good at that because they did a straight face. And I thought, I'm going to lose my job. I got two kids at home. You know, I was scared to death.
Yeah.
That they might have taken something out of
me. They did it with me. They told me my mom died. And I said, again?
my God. So, all right. So you've read
that show. Real quick thing, because sure. I never got a chance to follow up with you on this. Funniest thing, Facebook was just really blowing up at that time.
Yeah.
And when we would have downtimes in between watching our shows, we would, all of us in our cubes, the writers would joke around about, and one of my favorite segments that we would do is you would read one of your Facebook friends' descriptions of what they ate. Do you remember back in the days people would post pictures of their meal?
Yes.
At a restaurant, and then you would read out what that person wrote as if you were that person, and it was always funny to me because I never even saw a picture of them, but I knew who they were.
They were just very pretentious, and they wanted you to know they were drinking fine wine, and they would use phrases like, "Very excited for tonight to have friends over for mixed grill." I'm like, oh my gosh, I am gonna throw your barbecue down the hill. It's so pretentious. A Cotes de Rhone and mixed grill, and so bad.
And now think about Facebook.
Yeah.
And what it became. Can you imagine someone talking about capers nowadays?
All right. My guest is Rich Williams. We got a few more minutes of him coming up next. I'm going to give you a chance, Rich, on me too, for renting two apartments at the same time. We can do that if you want to. So Rich Williams is here. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. My old pal Rich Williams closing down the show with me tonight here on Nightlight. Rob Thomas will be here from the Capital Times and Terry Barr. Don't miss out on that. And Tuesday, I'll be doing a remote from the Minocqua Brewing Company on East Washington in Madison. So if you're in the Madison area, stop by there. That will be a very fun show. John and Gordy will be there from the WMDX Morning Show. And a lot of other fun musicians and guests will join us as well. Rich, we got a few more minutes. You just reminded me of another thing I did to do to Genzer. Like every time, remember when Facebook would say like so-and-so and so-and-so are now friends? And they would announce that, like whether you wanted them to or not, would always make a comment whenever Genzer became friends with someone. I would say, it's about time you two, like I knew them both. And I didn't know the other person, but Genzer would just crack up. And then he met this real girl and he actually sent me a message. He goes, "Hey man, do me a favor. Please don't make that joke this time," because he really liked this girl. Oh, it's funny.
There was a time, probably in 2016 and 18, everybody's arguing about politics. I don't want to get into any of that stuff, but because people would be so riled up.
Yeah.
Sometimes I would go on strangers' Facebook profiles when they were doing that. They were just screaming about politics, or it could be anything. I just write. And I don't know them. I would just write, "You weren't like this growing up." And then I'd block them. And then make them try to think, did I go to high school, middle school with this kid? Who?
Oh, my God. I love that. And then you would call YouTube and tell them what they're doing wrong with their stand-up.
Years later, God, came back. Funny. By the way, I want to get this in real quick. It's not funny. It's heartfelt. I hope the people in... whoever's listening to this and the people employing you and everyone out in that area realize how lucky they are to have you.
Wow.
The idea that you not only have sold a blockbuster movie that you appeared in, which is smart because when I was ghostwriting, I had to write the characters' names as guys I went to in my fraternity, went to college with, so people would know that I was actually doing it. But you directed a movie about Green Bay, and like, you've had such success, and now you're there and you're doing this, and it's, I just think it's amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'll Venmo you the $50 I said.
No,
that's very nice. Thank you. And, but it's fun to talk about. Like, I've done different things and, you know, whatever, like we all have. So it is fun to talk about stuff and have old friends on the show that just make me laugh. So, before we get, you know, Rich, I always respected your opinion when it, you've written some interesting stuff about Chappelle on Facebook over the years. Who are your favorites now? Who are you listening to, and who do you think is great?
It's like modern music. I had a friend, Jerry Parzigian. He ran the Jeffersons. He worked on the Golden Girls. Great friends. He's the scump of the music industry. He was in Yellow Rose at David Lee Roth. That video, he was the immigrant grocer. And he was complaining about music. He, oh, today's music stinks. And I go, you have all of the music and recorded history available to you. So when I laugh, I listen to Norm Macdonald and Patrice O'Neill.
Wow.
They're my two top favorite comics. The other one that I would say, Shane Gillis is the newest one that I could sit down and actually, because once you're a comic, you know this. After a while, you know all the tricks. So comedy has been kind of ruined for me as an audience member. But I'd say Shane is the current one that I really think Theo Vaughn is hilarious in a podcast setting. I've seen a little of his stand-up and I thought it was good, but him on a podcast is just magical.
That's really good to know. My son Joe, pardon me, is 23 now, and he's doing improv and stand-up and stuff like that. And he introduced me to Shane Gillis, or introduced me to his comedy. I cannot believe how funny that guy is. When he does the joke about the guy, how much guts it took to propose the Special Olympics, that is one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life. And
that's good, because I've never heard it.
Oh, so you got to Google it.
Now I get to watch something. Yeah.
I'll send you a link. It's truly one of the funniest things I've ever seen. So, and Norm Macdonald.
You're going to send it from this.
Go ahead.
Just real quick. Are you going to send it from the studio or your first apartment or your moonlight apartment? This guy, I couldn't believe when we worked together at Sports Soup, Pete had two apartments in the same apartment complex, one with his family and one not so he could fool around. There was no hanky panky. He just wanted to work more.
It kind of became a playroom, the whole apartment. And here's the crazy thing, Rich. And here's how it happened. We had this huge two bedroom apartment, and it was rent control. And I had two kids. I didn't want to leave. We were paying like $1,000 a month in LA, and it had a night security and great parking and a pool. I just never wanted to leave. So my wife was going crazy. So I said, well, I don't want to give this apartment up. Why don't we just get an apartment? So we got a one bedroom with no rent control. We were paying $1,800 for a month. So I was paying about $3,000 in rent. And then we ended up renting a house, which was even more, but it was insane. And I look back and I think
for that kind of money in my hometown, Schenectady, New York, you could buy the old mall.
I just want the food court. I would do that. I would buy a mall. Oh, that's funny. I know. I don't know what I was thinking, but, so were you friends with Norm Macdonald? You used to work with him, right?
We were never friends. I didn't get a chance to work with him, but I met him on a couple of occasions. And I was kind of romantically involved with someone that he romantically involved with. And it kind of overlapped. So that's the extent of it. But he was my comedic idol at that point in my career. Prior to that, it was a lot of different people. Bill Hicks, Anthony Clark.
Yeah,
Nobody seems to really
happened to him?
His HBO New Faces Comedy Festival showcase was one of the funniest things I ever saw. And I kind of modeled my delivery after him.
I was kind of friends with him. Yeah, I don't know whatever happened to him. It was weird. He just disappeared.
Yeah, he's back out there a bit. I've seen him on YouTube a bit, and I've seen some flyers, so it's good to see. I remember one night he was at the Improv, and there's the showroom and the little hallway that goes to the bathrooms but leads to the main bar and the place where you can eat. And he had a martini, and the woman was giving him a hard time about his jokes. He goes, I'm sorry, but I'm a multimillionaire. and walked away.
Rich, we got to end it there. That's a great, great place to end it. This was so fun, buddy. Thank you. We got to do this again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Great night. Great seeing you. All right, pal. That's Rich Williams. Check him out. Google Rich Williams comedy. Learn how to do stand-up from one of the best. I'd like to thank Matt Harper, Rich Williams. Thank you for your texts. Thank you, Conrad.
You're welcome.
You're tops, buddy. We'll be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight. This is Peach Wobbin, the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.